All right, let us begin. I want to mention before we get started that in the back of the church at all the doors, we still have some little black books available. So after Mass, if you didn't get a little black book, on Sunday, there's still probably 100 or so, and I'll talk about them a little bit during my homily. So today we gather to begin 40 days of intensified prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. These are the three practices that Jesus wants all of us to practice throughout our lives, but especially during Lent. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Almsgiving means giving to the poor, giving to the charities, giving to the church. And to the point where it's really a sacrifice, not just what's left over, but from our substance. And the whole point is to make us more generous in the heart, more concerned about the world around us, the people around us. And the reason for more intensified prayer, of course, is only from the higher power that we can change. The higher power, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it's only through prayer that we really make the deepest contact with him. And fasting. Today, Ash Wednesday, is a fast day. We're only allowed to have one meal today. I'd like to see how many of you have had two meals. Can I see a show of hands for all of you gluttons out there? All right, you're absolved because you're honest. But you can take another day and make it up. So on Ash Wednesday, between the age of 18 and 59, we're supposed to only have one meal, two lighter snacks. And the idea is to feel that hunger, to feel that hunger inside, to remind us of our hunger for God, our need for God. And we can offer up that hunger that we experience during fasting as a powerful type of prayer. So we're going to receive ashes at the end of this Mass on our forehead. There's going to be a sign of the cross made with ashes. And ashes, of course, are what are left over after the palm branches have been burned. You know the palm branches on Palm Sunday? We burn those, and those are the ashes we use today. And that sign of the cross on the head reminds us that we want to burn up our sins. We want to burn up our unhealthy tendencies and habits. So it's a sign of repentance. And the minister will say to you, repent and believe in the gospel. And repent means to turn in a new direction, redirect our attention to the Lord, redirect our thoughts to the Lord. So this is what the Word of God is calling to as we begin Lent. We heard from the prophet Joel tonight. Even now, says the Lord, return to me with your whole heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Fasting, weeping, and mourning. When we're really sensitive about our sins, about any evil we have committed, about our unhealthy habits and they disconnect us from God, the really sensitive person weeps over that reality because it feels so sad that you're not really being the best version of yourself. God wants us to be the kind of people he created us to be, and all of us fall short. And so Lent is a time to look at where we are in our spiritual journey. Are we becoming the best version of ourselves? Are we being the best person that we can be? And the answer, of course, is no. And so Lent is time to redouble our response to God's invitation, relying on his grace, first of all, not just relying on our acts of penance and our good resolutions. No, we rely on his grace. And then we make some decisions about what we're going to do to cooperate with that grace. And that's what we begin today by acts of penance and intensified prayer. St. Paul says in today's second reading, we implore you, in Christ's name, be reconciled to God. We appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. So this change that Lent is supposed to foster in us is to lead us to reconciliation with God, coming back together in a closer intimacy with God and neighbor. So the prophet Joel and the apostle Paul are both inviting us to change our lives, to see what are the sins that most often occur in our lives. What are the bad habits that we have? And to repent of them.
and to turn more completely to the Lord. Well, let's talk about bad habits. How do we get bad habits in the first place? By repeating bad actions. It's just like you want a virtue. The way you get good habits is you repeat good actions, and it becomes habitual. So let's take the example of a boy who goes to 7-Eleven. He wants a candy bar, but he doesn't have any money. And he looks at that Kit Kat or Hershey's or whatever it is, and he's feeling desire. He's salivating for that chocolate or that Kit Kat. And he's tempted to steal. But he's a little bit afraid because he hasn't stolen before. But the desire becomes so strong, he steals the Hershey's bar. He steals the Kit Kat. And he runs out of the store with the candy inside his coat. And he's afraid. He's very nervous. But he gets away with it. The second day, he comes back to 7-Eleven. And he has that same desire for the candy bar. But he doesn't have any money. And this time, he has less fear. He's still kind of anxious and nervous that he might get caught. But less fear because he got away with it the day before. He steals it again. Puts it in his coat, runs out. He does this for maybe 4 or 5 days. And after a week, he's not afraid anymore. He's gotten away with his thievery. And now he has a habit of stealing. It's the same with teens and adults who get into abusing drugs or abusing alcohol or looking at pornography. In the beginning, we feel some shame and anxiety when we get drunk or we are discovered being high on drugs. But if we just keep doing it, very quickly we get into the habit and we feel like we can't stop. You know, the drug addict feels that he can't be happy unless he has a fix. Same with the alcoholic. Same with the sex addict. Once it's become a habit, it begins to control us. We don't control the habit. So, what are we going to do about that? There's an answer. There is a way to gradually become free from our bad habits and find peace of mind. The first step is to recognize that our bad habits, our sins that we commit, take away our peace, take away our happiness, and they gradually control us. We don't control them. So we need to make a decision to avoid the temptation and to do something positive to break the habit. And this is called penance. So during Lent, we do some penance. A penance is an action that counteracts the bad habit. Lent is a special time to practice penance. So, what penance could that boy who stole the Kit Kats or the Hershey's bar, what kind of penance could he do to counteract this habit of stealing candy?
Can you give me an example? What would be a good penance for that boy to do? Yes. Yes, what penance? What would be helpful? He's got this habit of stealing candy. He's got this craving for candy, and he's become a thief. What could he do to turn that around? He could give up candy for Lent. Yes, that's right. What else? Do you have something to add to that?